listening to Get Sports Radio.
I'm your host, Dan Claskins. This is episode number 5, the Rookie Draft Recap. Really, that's just a title because there's so much more I want to get into over the next 30 minutes or so with you. So happy you made your way to the podcast. And this is if your first listen, episode 5. You got some catching up to do. Or if you've been listening the whole time, we definitely appreciate having you back. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. GetSportsInfo.com is the home of the podcast, the new and improved site up there and cranking. We're going through a little bit of transition. We're going to talk about that today. I've got a big announcement. I've been teasing it for pretty much since we started up the podcasting again. We'll bring some life to what that's all about here in a matter of moments. We're going to touch on all the headlines since I checked in week 4. No friends in fantasy today. I'm going to fly solo on this one, just doing a lot of catch up. Wrapping up May here before the big Memorial Day holiday weekend coming up, and really excited to dive into some divisional primers and previews in the weeks ahead. That's what we'll dive into when we come back in June. But I'll tell you, we've got a lot of drafting going on right now. I've been doing some mocks, a lot more mocks coming my way. MFL 10s just finished up the most recent one of those, my first post-draft MFL 10. I want to talk a little bit about how that went. You know, where I was sitting, the different spots in it, some strategy, and in my Dynasty League, which is sort of a unique setup, and we'll get into it in a little bit, but we got done with our annual rookie draft, and man, if that 4-round rookie draft on your Dynasty team doesn't get you going, I don't know what does. It's why I love Dynasty football. That's what May's all about. But as I alluded to, before we get to any of that, and I've got to talk about my hashtag, my one more thing as well. Don't want to leave that out. We're going to talk about some of my favorite 80s junk food, including a kind of cereal that I was hooked on as a kid. Haven't had it in almost 30 years and was able to buy some at Walmart.com this week. I'll share that experience with you before we're out of here. But let's start with the big news for me, at least personally, and hopefully for you that follow along with all my fantasy outtakes and rankings and stuff throughout the season. I can tell you that I've officially joined the Pro Football Focus team as a fantasy ranker and writer. So stoked to be part of a great organization, one of the best websites out there in the business, working with Jeff Ratcliffe and really the entire team of just talented analysts over there. And you know, Pro Football Focus right in the backyard here in Cincinnati. Since Chris Collinsworth bought out the company, the former Bengal receiver and NBC analyst, and moving it here to my town. And you know, we're really excited to have him here in the city, and I'm certainly excited to be part of that team. We have my first article up here in a matter of days, and looking forward to that. That will be the exclusive home of all my written fantasy content as well as my rankings. I'll still be putting them at Fantasy Pros, but if you need to check them out, they will be there because we'll have them up there. But that does mean some changes at GetSportsInfo.com, where I've been publishing rankings for 15 years. It, as I've talked to you about before, the new home of this podcast. I've got the blog there as well, where I'll write about all things sports and some things not even sports, like craft beer reviews and such. But definitely want to tune into the podcast. I'm going to be doing it pretty much weekly, year round. Definitely weekly during the season, and other touch points we'll have for you there. But enough about me and enough about all that. Let's jump into some of the headlines since we last spoke. It's that part of the year here, the draft's over, really until training camp starts. There is news flow out there, a lot of speculation going on by beat writers on certain situations and depth charts. I try not to overreact too much to that stuff, really until training camp gets going. I mean, when you're drafting at a volume that I'm already drafting at, I'm certainly tuned in and doing some tweaks here and there in the ranks on a weekly basis. But there are some headlines out there that I'd like to review, including the biggest one of the week, in my opinion, and that was LeGarrette Blount, the former New England Patriot running back, finding a new home. He lands in Philadelphia. He is an Eagle, and I think it's a great spot. I mean, Blount is a guy that certainly can help in short yardage situations, has the ability to shoulder the workload. And you look at this Philadelphia backfield. I mean, they brought in another rookie there in Pumphrey, Wendell Smallwood, a little one-dimensional. Darren Sproles, certainly a player that is not your prototypical running back, and he's 34 years old. So I think this is a great spot for Blount. I think he won't have to do too much. I mean, the guy's coming off 18 touchdowns. I mean, he'll never sniff that number again. And in this system, he might not even get half of those touchdowns. I think he's a solid bet for if he stays healthy and this team does use him as I expect, which I think will be in the ballpark of about 200 touches. I think LeGarrette Blount in standard formats or TD-heavy formats is a guy that's still a decent RB2 caliber fantasy player at this point. More so a flex, though, in a PPR situation. He's just not going to be involved catching the ball out of the backfield much there. His arrival likely means also the departure of Ryan Matthews. Not a surprise. I wasn't thinking he was going to stick. There have been some rumors that maybe Jeremy Hill, now that the Bengals have brought in Joe Mixon, would ship him off to Philadelphia. It looks like the Eagles did their part. They secured it. They got LeGarrette Blount. And for the Patriots, who put the tag on him, trying to make it a little bit more restrictive, they certainly forced the situation there as well. And LeGarrette Blount, a guy that definitely squarely back on the fantasy radar as he finds a new home in Philly. Speaking of his former team, the Patriots, I mean, I'm not putting a lot of fantasy intake to it, but I did want to briefly touch on the news this week that broke when Giselle indicated that her husband, Tom Brady, on CBS This Morning had been dealing with concussions. Of course, none of this was reported during the season. There's been some questions on how much the team knew. A lot of people coming out saying that, there were no signs of this. Normally, I would just dismiss this altogether, but because it's the Patriots, because it's Tom Brady, I just really hope this is one of those stories that doesn't linger. And at this point, I'm not putting a lot of emphasis on it. But other than the fact that, man, just leave the guy alone. I mean, can we just get away from the witch hunt that seems always out there against Tom Brady? And then this one, I mean, players hiding injuries, telling their wives things. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there probably guilty of that. Speaking of injuries, it was injuries that derailed the Steelers' career of one tight end Ladarius Green. Pittsburgh parting ways with the veteran this week after he failed a physical. And, here's Green still, right here in just what would have been his second season in Pittsburgh, released after a failing a physical. And he's been dealing with the concussion stuff, and the stuff's been sort of hush-hush here at times on that. There were the ankle issues last season that bothered him. He continued to flirt with fantasy relevance, had that one big game last year that sort of took it to another level. But for the most time, you're waiting on him to come back to the bench, waiting on him to do this and do that. And, he is still hoping to play this season. I doubt we'll see it. I mean, you take away that week 13, 6-catch, 110-yard touchdown performance. I mean, he pretty much did nothing the rest of his Steelers career. And now for Pittsburgh, a team that, they're moving on. They've got some young pieces on this offense they've added in the draft. We'll talk about a couple of those guys here in a bit. But, here's a situation. I mean, Jesse James was decently formidable last year. But is this team, how are they going to utilize the tight end? And what's it going to mean at the end of the day when you talk about Ben Roethlisberger and these other players that could be impacted by the loss of Green? But let's face it, he was never a factor to begin with. I mean, even in his San Diego days, we were able to see a guy that, had that potential, was supposed to be the heir apparent to Antonio Gates, never came to reality, and now here he is just one season with the Steelers on his way out the door. And as I said, I mean, Jesse James, his value's going up. He's bumping up a few spots here in my rankings. Still just mid-range, low-end, tight end two material, if that. none of these other guys on the depth chart really fantasy relevant. Xavier Grimble, David Johnson, names that fantasy owners just won't be paying attention to anytime soon. Other news out there this week, I found it interesting that Ryan Fitzpatrick, coming off perhaps the worst season a quarterback has ever experienced in this league, certainly one of the most disappointing for fantasy owners as that invested in that Jets passing attack last year, who, I gotta admit, I mean, Fitzpatrick wasn't a guy I was necessarily going after, but Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker were, and the way that thing just sort of crumbled before our eyes. Fitzpatrick, to his credit, inks a deal here. He's going to be Jameis Winston's backup in Tampa Bay, and for the Bucs, I mean, you could do worse as a QB2. I'm fine with Fitzpatrick being a QB2. Hopefully, you don't need to go to him. If you need him in a pinch, I mean, the guy at least has some experience. I think it's a good spot. He's a good player. I think he'll help Jameis off the field with, you know, some of his Harvard background, if you will, ability to do the playbook. He is a good team player. But to me, the interesting thing is, how is Fitzpatrick getting a job and a guy like Colin Kaepernick is still unsigned? I mean, the answer's simple. I mean, the drama and the headaches that go along with the PR nightmare it is for teams to sign Colin Kaepernick, but I think it's sort of ridiculous myself. I mean, I am not agreeing with Colin Kaepernick and his politics. I sort of just think it's shocking, though, with as many teams with quarterback needs, how hypocritical these teams who sign guys that have domestic disputes and, you know, numerous drug offenses. And, you know, I mean, Colin Kaepernick just opportunities out there are just next to nothing right now, is just sort of eye-popping. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of his decision to do what he did, but I am a huge fan of our freedom of speech and everything that America stands for. And I just think that these teams taking the higher road, not even giving this guy a look, is a little bit hypocritical. Other NFL news that we're keeping our eyes on, it looks like the league might be going to a situation where they're going to allow teams to return up to two players from injured reserve. It's one of the many rules that they're discussing right now. That could be impactful in leagues if you have injured reserves in your fantasy leagues. The ability to bring back two players, the volume of those situations probably going to escalate with this rule. So you might want to make sure your league rules and your setup are prepared for the idea of having more volume of players returning from that injured reserve. As I talked about this week, couple fun drafts I was in, particularly in my dynasty league. We do a dynasty auction league. It's not a total dynasty league in the sense that the most years you can wrap up a player contract for is 5 years, six with the franchise tag technically. So it's not like you draft a guy and get him forever, because we have 2, 3, 4, and 5 year contracts, franchise tags and stuff like that to worry about. So not necessarily the best way to, you know, give you information on the way it went, but nonetheless, I found it fascinating. I know for me, when I do, if I'm making my board, this is a PPR dynasty league. First round picks are essentially 4 year contracts with the 5th year optional on a franchise tag. So for me, 5 years is deep enough in dynasty football. I mean, I view it a little differently than my dynasty baseball league, where we literally draft these minor leaguers. I mean, in that league, we could, you know, keep guys 7, 8, 9 years. In this league, it's a little different, because in football, I think that window ahead that I really care about, it's about 3 years. I mean, I generally go younger, more upside like anybody in this setup. But my first pick, if I was picking number one in this draft, and by the way, I had the number 12th pick was my first pick, so we'll get into my picks here in a minute. But if I was picking number one overall in this PPR dynasty setup, 12-teamer, for me, my number one investment is in Titans wide receiver Corey Davis. I really think that he is a player that is going to make an impact, a big enough impact in year one. I do view him as wide receiver 3 in redraft league. So I'm pretty bullish on him coming in and immediately putting up some sort of fantasy production to be that relevant. But I think long term, the sky is even more so the limit for the kid. And I really just like what he did in this auction dynasty draft. And I say auction because we have a free agent auction later in the year. This was just a straight up draft format. The number one pick was Leonard Fournette, and Davis didn't even go to number five. Our draft went Fournette, then Dalvin Cook, which was a bit surprising, followed up by Christian McCaffrey at number three. Joe Mixon, even in a Cincinnati-based dynasty league, goes number four overall, followed up there by the first receiver in the five spot with Davis, who, you know, I mean, Davis is a guy that I definitely think is a potential of the number one argument, but that's the thing about these rookie leagues. I mean, if you put Davis up there with those first four running backs off the board in some form or fashion, it's going to be those first five guys. I think Mike Williams is probably the end of that. I myself am not as high on Williams. I think he's definitely a tier down from these other guys. I put it out on my Twitter account, at Dan Claskins. I love talking fantasy there, engaging, answering your questions, but I also love giving polls. I ran one a few days ago and asked flat out, which of these running backs would you take first in a PPR dynasty league, putting those four backs up there of Fournette, McCaffrey, Cook, and Mixon. Surprisingly to me, 45% of the 150 votes casted at Twitter there, at Dan Claskins, Christian McCaffrey taking the poll, followed up by Mixon second with 26%. Leonard Fournette comes in third, 18%. Cook a fourth, a distant fourth at 11%. I do agree with Cook is probably more with Williams in that separate tier because I think those other three running backs and Davis are my big four. I think that in a PPR setup, I can get behind McCaffrey. I do think there's arguments to be made for Mixon. And Fournette, the same. I just don't think any of those guys are going to be RB1 materials like we saw in rookie Ezekiel Elliott last year. So don't overpay. The hype train on all these guys is rolling pretty fast right now. But I think the ceiling is high-end RB2 for any of these guys, at least this year. We'll reassess it after they get a little taste of the NFL, a little experience behind their belt. But, you know, my draft in the rookies, I had the 12th pick. I traded back into the first round. I gave up my first round pick in a trade last season to make a push for a title. Didn't work out. I did make an offseason deal, got back into that 12 hole. And, you know, at this point, my team, I've got locked up for the next few years in this league. Mike Evans, Mike Thomas, AJ Green. So I'm pretty set at receiver. I really had addressed the running back position. Interestingly enough, eight running backs went in round one of this league, three receivers and just one tight end, but in pick 1.12, I was able to secure Alvin Kamara with the Saints, who I'm a real big fan of him in a PPR. I know there's some questions about how much we'll expect out of him in year one with the Peterson signing, with the Ingram. I think he's an immediate play in passing down situations there, as long as he picks up on things pretty quickly there in training camp. And I think he could have an even bigger role with those guys get injured, and they both have a history. So Kamara, I was tickled pink with to take there 1.12. I almost went receiver. I didn't need receiver. I was staring Juju Smith-Schuster, the former USC Trojan, now Pittsburgh Steeler, as a potential guy there because I really think he's going to escalate quickly too. His value is directly correlated. Can Martavis Bryant stay out of trouble and stop smoking some reefer? I don't know, but I do think Smith-Schuster, over the course of 4 or 5 years, like these first-rounders can get in this league, is a guy that's going to have value. I like his upside big time in Pittsburgh. But amazingly enough to me, he slipped down to me at pick 2.8. So, and when it got down there, I was starting to look at maybe plucking another running back. Joe Williams of the Niners was there. This is a guy that is getting a lot of attention right now. I really wanted Kareem Hunt. Amazingly, he fell to pick 1.11, so I missed on him by one. I would have taken Hunt over Kamara had he gotten there, but I was happy to get Kamara. And then I passed on Joe Williams and took Smith-Schuster, that is, even though I didn't need receiver as much. I even got Devontae Parker as my wide receiver four, but I just like his upside too much. And yeah, the hype is starting to build on Joe Williams. We know Kyle Shanahan moved up, talked John Lynch into taking him on his board. He was a lot of misconceptions about how he left that team at UConn. To me, the kid sounds like a winner. I do think he's got some upside. Him along with Kareem Hunt, two running backs really rising up my ranks pretty quick here. But once again, I'm going to dial it back a notch. I see people just really ignoring Carlos Hyde in some of these MFL 10s. I had Hyde fall to me all the way at the end of round three. I'm still a believer in Hyde. It is a walk year. The leash is short, so it does not come without risk. But I think Joe Williams in a dynasty setup, 2-3 years of commitment. Here's a guy that can make a splash this year potentially, but certainly has some long-term upside play here because Kyle Shanahan liked what he saw enough, and they're going to give him another chance. You also have Samaje Perine, the player from Oklahoma, now finding his way on with Washington. He's getting talked up pretty good right now. And let's face it, I mean, Fat Rob, Rob Kelly, and Matt Jones probably going to be cut off there. And Fat Rob is just too one-dimensional. So I actually prefer Hunt over all those guys that are getting talked up from that rookie class. And then, but I was happy later in the draft. I had 3 late-round picks in this rookie draft, 1 third-rounder and 2 fourth-rounders. And I had John Connor fall to me all the way at pick 3.8. I know, I'm like, dude, I'm loaded up on Steelers. I've already got Big Ben on this roster. But, I mean, Connor appears to be the backup right now to me. I'm projecting him to be the RB2 of Pittsburgh. And given Le'Veon Bell's injury history and trouble off the field, I mean, this is a guy that come relevant pretty quickly. So it was a stab there. And then my fourth rounders, Treyon Taylor, he lands with the Titans. It's a bit of a biased pick, I'll admit, as a former Western Kentucky Hilltopper myself. This guy's the greatest receiver ever to come out of the school. I do think he's got a lot of upside. And then one of the last picks of the draft, I rolled the dice on DeShone Kizer. I've got Winston locked up long-term on this team, Big Ben as a backup, but you know, Kaiser's got a ceiling. I think that a lot of people are sort of dismissing him. Opportunity could knock. I think Cody Kessler is going to start the season there, and if he plays well, Kizer may not even see the field this year, so this could be a guy I end up dumping down the road. But I do think that Cleveland is an ascending offense right now. I like what I see with Hugh Jackson in year 2. I think they just crushed the NFL draft, and I think this is a situation where if Kizer can be eased in, comes in, and makes a splash, that the talent is there around him, certainly in the passing game. So Kizer worth a stab here in round 4, in my opinion, of what was happening there. MFL 10s are fired up for a couple of you that were able to get in the one I'm doing currently. Lots of fun there. We're in the third round. I keep ending up this the first one and now the second one since the draft that I've gotten in. Pick 1.08 in the first one I just wrapped up, and the new one, 1.9. It's like, man, I want to get up in that top half just to try drafting. In both cases, I ended up with A.J. Green. And I'd like to go, I don't know about you guys, I mean, for me in MFL 10s, I usually try to go running backs a little earlier than normal because it's best ball. And I think at receiver, when you've got a best ball scenario, I'm just going to load up on, you know, 7 or 8 guys out of my 20-man roster, usually about 7 receivers. But I'm not looking maybe 1 tier 1 receiver after that. It's more a lot of wide receiver 3 and 4s build up at the running back position. And that's exactly what I tried to do here, but it didn't really go that way. I mean, I'm not going to pass up value. So in this draft, I had the 2.5. That's where I landed Gurley. Just missed out on Jay Ajayi, who I like a little better than Gurley. And then in round 3, I was wanting to go running back, but I still came back there and got Alshon Jeffery, who I'm a little more bullish on than others. I look around. I mean, I've got him in my top 10. I think in a contract year, in a much better situation with you know, Carson Wentz delivering in the football, I think Jeffrey's going to have a good year if he stays healthy. To me, that's the concern I have when you talk about Alshon Jeffery. But landing him there in the third round, late in the third round. But with Gurley, I mean, my 5 running backs I ended up with here. Gurley, I got there at 2.5. At 4.5, I came back and got Ingram. At 6.5, I went back and got Eddie Lacy. Not like I love the guy, but Paul Perkins at 7.8, I think is great value. And this was before the Blunt signing, but this is PPR. It was the 14th round, and Darren Sproles is my RB5. Wasn't too bad there. As I mentioned, I stacked up with Green and Jeffrey on the first 2 picks, and I didn't go back to receiver until round 5. I took Corey Davis. As I just told you before, I think this guy is going to be wide receiver 3 right out of the gate. So I feel good about that. Kenny Stills is my 4 in round 11. Sanu in round 15. And then my last pick was Smith-Schuster in round 20. So I feel pretty good with the 7 receivers. 2 rookies there. Oh, yeah, Allen Hurns in round 13. I'm a little higher on Hurns than others. I see You know, Lee's getting a lot of love and deservingly so, but in round 13, I'll take my chances. At quarterback is where it was interesting, because in round 8, I went Ryan, and round 9, I came back with Winston, and then in round 19, Cody Kessler, who could get it done. And tight end, I sort of waited on too. Didn't even take my first tight end in round 10, got Jack Doyle, came back in round 12 and got O.J. Howard, round 18, got Gates, went a little early on defense. It was round 16 and 17, plucked the Vikings and the Cardinals defenses respectively there. But if you see what I did, Matt Ryan, I've got Sanu. Which, you know, if Sanu has a big game, that's a best ball scenario. Those guys are going to get production. The rookie tight end, not as huge on O.J. Howard, but I got Gates and Doyle, so hopefully one of those guys does something each week. But once again, with O.J. Howard, if he does well, I got Winston. So I sort of got my QB guys lined up with one of their targets. And yeah, I don't think it's a bad strategy. I mean, it's not a defining situation, but maybe one that comes up as a tiebreaker in a lot of cases when I do these MFL 10s. Check it out. We're going to do a couple more of these with, you know, I try to engage my Twitter followers at Dan Klaskins in these things. I'm going to do a couple more of them before I get real heavy into mock drafts. And they're just great practice, because if you're going to do a lot of leagues, getting in these, they're slow drafts, they're super easy. I highly recommend them. And it is quite a lot of fun. So we're going to wrap up today. I like to do it every single week. We talk about hashtag my one more thing. If you tweet me at Dan Klaskins or at GetSportsInfo, be sure to include the hashtag my one more thing. And it's the name of our blog, the new blog there at GetSportsInfo.com. You can go and look at all these different takes, and it's really just to get off the beaten path a little bit. I like to talk about things that I'm interested in, other sports, other hobbies, and, you know, things that I just enjoy. I find it a lot of fun to have that conversation. This week, I share it with you my favorite foods from the 80s. One in particularly, you know, I grew up the youngest of six, and when mom went to the grocery store and them goodies came into the house, I mean, it was like a dog marking his territory at times. Well, there was a breakfast cereal called Quisp. It had a little Martian on the front. Don't know if you ever saw it, if you ever knew what it was, but for those of you, you know, grew up in the 80s like me, chances are you do remember. And it was around before the 80s, by the way, but nonetheless, Quisp was a thing, and recently at a family Christmas, we all started talking about it, and I finally came clean to my brothers and sisters that I actually hid. I would take the Quisp out of the box on the way in to carrying in the groceries and somehow sneak it up to our upstairs bathroom, hide it, because nobody went to the upstairs bathroom but maybe a couple of us kids, and I would like hide it like behind rows of toilet paper underneath the sink. And I can remember on Saturday mornings waking up and just getting a bowl of some milk and a spoon and heading upstairs to the bathroom where I'd pour the Quisp. It's just because I didn't want to share any of it. I was hooked on this stuff. It was like crack for kids. Well, sure enough, we talked about it and had the memory a couple Christmases ago, and I start seeing it out there on social media. Well, little did I know, just real recently, Walmart.com starts selling Quisp. So, of course, I immediately went on and ordered, by the time you pay the $5.99 shipping and handling, I was like, I'm going to get my money's worth here. And they were small boxes, so I ordered like 4 boxes. It came this week, got to enjoy Quisp for the first time in like 3 decades, and it was so amazing. I'm telling you, it's like Captain Crunch, but the difference is because of its oval discs that are shaped like little UFOs, it doesn't cut the roof of your mouth. I mean, if you're a Captain Crunch eater, or back when you were a kid you were, you can remember, man, you start chomping down on some Captain Crunch, like it cut up your mouth at times. Plus, the milk just fits so perfectly in there for the yummy little taste. So my daughter, who was 6, she enjoyed it. I did get 4 boxes. I'm sending one to my sister's house, one to my brother's house for all the Quisp I ripped them off as a kid. But it did get me thinking, what are some of my other favorite foods from the 80s? And I put together that list and talked a little bit more about Quisp, including some pictures of my boxes. You can get all of it, GetSportsInfo.com. You can also check it out on Twitter, hashtag my one more thing. Send it to me. I want to know what makes your list of your favorite foods from the childhood that maybe you can't get anymore, things that bring back good memories. Send it in. We'll certainly share it. I'd love to see it there as well. I'm fresh out of time. I'm fresh out of breath. Do enjoy flying solo with you. Next week, We'll be back after Memorial Day holiday. We'll start up our divisional primers. We are going to go June and July, like episode by episode. We are just going to break down entire divisions, team by team, talk about the players. We'll have a friend in fantasy back to do that with us and so much more. Be sure to keep up with me at Dan Klaskins on Twitter. Check out my rankings coming soon and my articles starting to appear at Pro Football Focus at the fantasy page. Must follow there at @PFF_fantasy as well. We're looking forward to that. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play. Give us some reviews there as well. That's all I've got for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Klaskins. This has been the Get Sports Info Podcast.
Get Sports Radio.